extend Christian greetings again. We count it a privilege again of gathering in God's house with God's people on this side of an ever-ending eternity. We're one day closer home than we've ever been before. Let's keep up. Enjoy the devotional thoughts. Remind me again of a little bit of a treasure hunt. Some beautiful words inserted in maybe some other good teaching, but those words stand out to us. Does anyone have something they'd like to share from the book of Isaiah tonight? The verse that you thought of today.
Cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste.
Okay, thank you.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Praise God. Thank you. Anyone else?
61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with pearls.
Okay, very good. Anyone else? Thank you for that. We say there's rewards for diligently seeking him. Can you fathom the depth of the rewards that God has for us? We can't, because we struggle with the term diligence. I appreciate what the brother said about fully surrendered Lord Divine. I want to, but I need to be reminded of that very statement over and over and over again, because I'm a human being. Continue to pray for us. We want God's will to be done. Might just mention, the Lord continues to lead that way. Tomorrow evening we'll try to focus more on something for the youth, and Sunday morning for the church. And as the Lord directs that way. Yes, I'll give you a heads up. The doctrine of the church, I've taught at Bible school for a number of years, is my favorite subject. So I just got done teaching it for 3 weeks, but we'll try to have it one session Sunday morning. So be ready to absorb. I love the church. It's precious. That's not my subject tonight. Tonight we want to look at the Christian family. I'd like to read a story. Parts of it, not all, read it in its entirety, but to stimulate our thinking, Dmitri, his wife, and sons lived in Russia. Dmitri was arrested because of his faith in God and was put into a tiny cell in a prison 1,000 kilometers away from home. It was a miserable cell, but worse yet, he was the only Christian among 1,500 hardened prisoners. Dmitri said there were two reasons that he had strength to face his torture. For 17 years in prison, he would stand by his bed every morning and lift his arms in praise to God. Then he would sing a praise song to Jesus. The other prisoners laughed at him, cursed and jeered. They banged their cups against the iron bars in anger. They threw food and sometimes human waste to try to stop him and try to put out the only true shining light in that dark place. The other thing that helped Dmitri was writing scripture verses in praise. Whenever he found a scrap of paper, he would use a stub of pencil or a tiny bit of charcoal and write as small as he could. He would fill the paper with verses, songs of scripture, stories, and then walk to the corner of his little jail cell where there was a concrete pillar that he constantly dripped water. Dmitri reached as high as he could and stuck that paper in the damp pillar as a praise offering to God. When the jailer saw it, he took it down and read it. He beat Dmitri and threatened him with death, but Dmitri refused to quit. Every day he rose at dawn and sang the same song. And every time he found a paper, he filled it with a scripture and praise. Year after year passed by. The guards tried to make him stop and tortured his family back home. They told Dmitri that his wife was killed and his children were taken away by the state. Dmitri finally broke. He told God he just couldn't take it anymore. He told the guards, "I will sign any confession that you want me to sign. I must get out of here and find my sons." They told Dmitri that they would prepare his confession, and in the morning he could sign the paper and go free. The paper would say that he did not believe in Jesus and that he was a spy. He told the guards to bring it in the morning and he would sign it. That night, he sat in his cell in deep despair. He was so sad he had given up. Back home, Dmitri's wife, children, and his brother sensed through the Holy Spirit that Dmitri was in despair. They knelt in a circle and prayed out loud for him. Miraculously, the Holy Spirit of the living God allowed Dmitri to hear their words and their voices as they prayed. He was 1,000 kilometers away, but he heard their voices. The next morning, when the guards came to the cell with the papers to sign, Dmitri's back was straight, his shoulders were square, there was light in his eyes. He declared, "I am not going to sign anything." The guards were very surprised. Instead of finding Dmitri beaten and destroyed, he was smiling. He told them, "In the night, God let me hear the voices of my wife and children and my brother praying for me. You lied. I know my wife is alive and will, and my sons are with her. I am not signing anything." After that, his guards tried to discourage him, but Dmitri remained faithful. One day, God gave him a special gift. Out in the prison yard, he found a whole sheet of paper and a pencil lying beside it. Dmitri rushed to his cell and filled both sides with every Bible verse and song and story he could remember. He reached up and stuck the sheet of paper on that wet concrete pillar. He stood there and looked at it. He felt it was the greatest offering he could give Jesus from his prison cell. Of course, when the jailer saw it, Dmitri was beaten and threatened with execution. He was dragged from his cell. As they dragged him down the prison corridor toward the door leading to the courtyard where executions took place, 1,500 hardened criminals stood attention by their beds. They raised their arms and began to sing the praise song that they heard Dmitri sing to Jesus every morning for the past 17 years. Dmitri said it sounded like the greatest choir in history. Dmitri's jailers instantly released their hold on him, stepped away in terror. One of them asked, "Who are you?" Dmitri stood as tall as he could and replied, "I am a child of the living God." The guards returned him to his cell, and sometime later he was released and went home to his family. God does not always answer prayers that way. But I thought that's a good introduction tonight. As we think of the Christian family, it's a big subject. I used to think when I was young it'd be easier to preach on this than it is when you're older than a grandpa. And I still find it, I enjoy preaching this message, but I find it quite a challenge. Our children are growing. But I stand before you as an imperfect father and an imperfect grandfather. But I was glad that I could point my children to the Heavenly Father. And today, to us as parents that our children have left home, we can keep on praying like Dmitri's wife did. For years. God hears those prayers. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 127. Some very familiar passage, but just to while you're turning to that, I'm going to read a verse from Matthew 6, verse 33. "But think of the Christian family, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." How many of us as parents find it very difficult sometimes to first seek the kingdom of God in the hustle and the bustle and the busyness of life? But you know, grandparents still have the same problem. I think it's one of Satan's tactics sometimes is to get us busy. but seek ye first. Psalm 127. Except the Lord build this house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wealth shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall a man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. So as we think of the Christian family, I remember one time in our home congregation, I preached a series of messages on the Christian home. And I wasn't quite sure where to start. I finally think I come to the conclusion we're going to start with the foundation of children growing up in youth. Such an integral part of the Christian home. Youth must learn to keep their priorities straight. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. For you as young couples this evening, that I remember so well, when that first child was born into our home and holding that little girl and thinking that I have received a responsibility that this soul is going to spend eternity somewhere, and it's largely dependent upon what I do in life. You know, that was quite a few years ago. I still have the same burden. I have the same burden for each child that is here tonight. Thank you, parents, tonight. I know it's a lot of work to bring your children to church, to get them ready every night, take them to revival meetings. And children, you're doing very well. I feel them being attentive. And just to clear the air, if Johnny's not in tonight, don't worry about it. He's just being, this just like the preacher was when he was a little boy. It's the Adamic nature that's within us. But what I'm trying to say is the beauty of the Christian home. When parents don't enjoy taking their children to church, don't be surprised if the children don't want to go to church. You carry them to church the first time. And hopefully they will follow you to the church the last time you're there, on the day of your death. Let's be faithful. But today there's so much emphasis out there, and tomorrow night we'll look at it a lot more, but there's so many distractions out there. The Christian home is being broken down. The home as a whole is being broken down. God has established the home as a husband and a wife. It's a sacred union. And if you want to look at the chaos that is in society today, we're not going to enlarge on it. But I believe this is just the tip of the iceberg that we may see in the future, because the homes are just totally falling apart. Men marrying men and all those things that are happening today, there's going to be condemnation, there's going to be sin, there's going to be results and laws of sowing and reaping that man is not stopping to think of, because God did not ordain it that way. Back in Genesis chapter 1, I believe it was, I find it very interesting that was said way back there, and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. So God is not promoting bachelors. If there's one here and God calls you to be a single man, Lord bless you. But there's something about that balancing effect of a husband and wife. I guess I'm just going to say how I feel. I have seen many a young man that need a little polishing, and a young and little sister that need a little bit of polishing, and they come together and establish a Christian home, and I stand back and I marvel like the beauty and the stability and the contribution they make in the church, because they enhance each other. But I've also seen it otherwise, and it makes me sad when I see those things. We have in Matthew chapter 7 tonight, we have that example of the wise man and the foolish man. If you're going to establish a home tonight on the lusts and the sins of the flesh and all those beauties and all those things. That it's going to be like the foolish man, the first windstorm that comes. It's going to fall. It's going to start deteriorating. You know, but when you build it on the rock, Jesus Christ. How many of you brethren married the perfect wife? You still believe that years earlier? But you know what? Maybe I should ask the other side and I'll see what they get the same answer here. We love each other through imperfections. Don't we? That's the beauty. You know, my wife isn't quite as perfect as I thought she was, but actually I love her better than I thought I ever could. Those little imperfections just kind of go away. She has a lot more to deal with than what I do. But that's life. But when you're just looking on the frivolous things of life, you're going to be disappointed. The paint and all that stuff is going to wash off, and all you got is a poodle looking. And if we have true Christian graces within our sisters, there's virtue there. And we have strong men that love the Lord. There we have something that is solid to build a church on. And that's what it's talking about, the wise man. He built his house on the rock. The rock is Jesus Christ. That's where our homes need to be established tonight. And if there's any courtships here, any young marriage, whatever, I encourage you, use the Word of God for your devotionals. There's other good books out there, but be careful. Don't let them replace the Word of God, because the Word of God has stood the tests of time, and it will work. Except the Lord build the city, they labor in vain that build it. There's a very interesting concept here. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman, in my own words, is worrying himself to death and doing no good. So how is God going to protect the Christian home? It's because we are fully surrendered. Have thine own way, as we sang tonight. That's the beauty of the Christian home. I enjoy seeing Christian homes being established. I enjoy seeing the results of it. But accept the Lord. So there's where you get wisdom. There's where you get security. And you know, tonight this message is not necessarily on child training, but there's going to be some of it inserted in through. But that's where you're going to get the directions how to raise a child. Now, as the practical directions, you know, that's what I find a little interesting. Sometimes people say, well, we like so-and-so book because it gives a lot of practical teaching. Well, now, if you want to get practical, the book of Proverbs is very practical to do what to do with a naughty child. I'm a firm believer that God has made a connection between the seat and the mind. The warming of the seat cleanses the mind. God has created us that way. Proverbs talks about that. Spare the rod, spoil the child. That's about as practical as you can get, huh? Oh, but we want to paraphrase that. We want to do some other thing with it. We're not talking about child abuse. We're talking about the way God has laid it out. Verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of their womb is his reward. I don't know how some of the others have children that are grown. When you found the most interesting time of your children's life, your relationship as a father to your son and mother to your daughter. I have a lot of good memories. I have memories that where dad made mistakes. I'm thankful that my children can forgive me for my mistakes. But probably one of the highlights that I enjoyed in the family life is when I could look my sons in the eyes and we could relate on an adult level. Because I'm still enjoying that today. That's a blessing. That's a tremendous blessing. Children are an heritage of the Lord. It's a huge investment. But that little child, I'm not trying to be humorous when I make some of these statements, so bear with me. But have you ever seen any person as selfish as a baby, and still we call it so cute. Do you get it? A baby is very, very selfish. You know, my wife and I had a fair amount of peace in the house until a little baby comes along and changes our structure. But you know, we enjoyed it. It's life. It's life. We view that child as that innocent child. Children are a blessing. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Now, I'm not a hunter. But if I understand it right, I had an object lesson on this one time in some meetings. If you're a bow hunter, would you think of just going out and getting a branch, sharpening the end up a little bit and trying to shoot a deer? I must have some marksmen here. They shake their head no. You're a lot smarter than I am. I'd know that much, but that's about all I know about it. No, you wouldn't. You want an arrow that's straight. Why? You have a target. What's your goal tonight, parents? What's your goal for your child? Are you want to raise your child to do whatever God asks them to do? Raise your child to fear the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way that you can raise them is take them to church. Be on church on time. Enjoy church life. Teach them by example. Yes, that's a good place to teach them to hold still and to learn reverence and all those things. But the enthusiasm rubs off as that arrow is being shaped, as that arrow is being formed. Someday it will be released. That's a whole other different subject. It's a serious feeling. There's probably some here that have done it, but you preach your children's wedding sermon, it's kind of like it's another phase of life. You know, somebody else is going to take care of my daughter now. My son is responsible to take care of somebody else's daughter now. But you know, that's the way God has this plan for it from the beginning. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And yet we find ourselves groping sometimes. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Enjoy family life tonight, parents. You may think that days are long, and they are. It's been several years since we're in the heat of the battle, but I'm not quite sure what happened. It wasn't that long ago, I don't feel, that we had the first little baby, and now in the last couple of months we had two grandchildren. That makes 22 for us, and like I told you earlier, I'm not getting old. The grandchildren just keep coming. And we enjoy them. We enjoy family life. But life, family life is full of adjustments. But we lay the groundwork day by day. And you as young parents, I encourage you, take that challenge and walk carefully. Don't let Satan discourage you. Step up to plate. It is a golden opportunity. Verse 1 of 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. When you're under the spout of God's blessings, you'll never be able to contain all of them. Your buckets won't be big enough. So blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. When I think of a Christian youth, a boy and a girl coming to the marriage altar, pure and holy, and wanting to serve the Lord, I think they're under that spout of blessed is the man that walketh in his ways. And he go out and they establish a home. It's far more than what we can fathom sometimes. Then verse 2 says, thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. I also realize in the raising of the Christian, raising of a family, there's disappointment sometimes in life. But that's where I come back to my little story I read. Prayer, prayer, and more prayer. Don't give up. The story is said of a father who had a wayward child. And he prayed. He said, God, would you give me an easy death so that my child, my wayward child can see the beauty of being prepared to go to be with the Lord. I don't think the individual was selfish as I know of. He came to those moments in life, and I guess if I have the story right, it was a tremendous struggle. Those last. It seemed like Satan in his fury tried to attack him. He passed from the scenes of this life. The wayward child said, "My dad was a godly man. And if that's how death worked on him, I don't want to be a sinner." You get the picture? We have plans, but God has divine plans. So we don't want to give up. Verse 3, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by thy sides, thy children like olive plants round about thy table." The blessing of sitting around the table and having a nice meal, enjoyable time, beautiful memories. I realize that's when food gets spilled. That's when I think, now I'm not going to ask the little boys in front, but you probably disagree sometimes, don't you? You fight just a little bit. They fight with you, okay? That's all right. I had one brother, and he'd fight with me. But I kept up my end of the deal. But when we think of coming, teaching thy children, teaching your children, line upon line, repetitious, over and over and over, those things will bring results. There's lessons that I learned as a youth, as a child. There's a lesson that I learned at the breakfast table as a little boy. I still remember. Should I tell you what happened? My mom and dad, we sat around the breakfast table, and my mom often gave me a plate that was very slippery. I'd put my Lucky Charms or whatever in there, you know, and I'd be eating. And my plate was so slippery, it'd fall off the table. Or I'd slide off the table, you know. Why was it slippery? Because Duane was not very careful. The plate really wasn't slippery. It was just, you know, I'm making excuses. And in exasperation, my mom and dad got a little bit of wisdom. What do you think they made me do? I sat down on the floor and ate my cereal and milk. Now, you might think that's not healthy. Well, I'm living proof. I'm pretty healthy today yet. But you know what? That did more than, I don't know what all other methods to use. I don't remember that. I remember sitting on the floor eating, I think it was Lucky Charms or Cheerios, and milk off the floor with a spoon. You know, my plate problem solved itself. I didn't have slippery plates after that. A lesson. Now, that happened a long time ago, okay? That didn't just happen the last couple of years. That probably happened 55, 57 years ago. I still remember that little truth. So parents, sometimes I hear our children saying stories that I think they wait till they're married till they relate the facts to us, but that's all right. Stories that we remember as adults, isn't it? Little things that our parents taught us. Parents, step up and give your children those memories. Give them the opportunity. It's a precious opportunity you have. The world is so full of devices and things to sidetrack. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our Lord, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Will your children know if you believe this verse? Absolutely they will. Absolutely they will. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to thee keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Okay? We're not going to take the time tonight. I'm not sure what's happening with time here. Somebody's not following his directions very good, I guess. We're not going to take the time, but the book of Deuteronomy has some very practical teaching for child training. It says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. They're supposed to be as frontlets before them. It's supposed to remind them, what's the decor of your homes? I haven't been in the several homes I've been in, I haven't seen any baseball fans on the home side walls. I haven't seen any of those things, and I don't expect to see anything. What do I see? I see Christian mottos, Bible verses, those types of things. Why? Those things will influence our homes. It's such a little way, and yet it is very, very important. It's very important that we have those things, because the power of influence, I believe, many times supersedes what we really say. More is caught than we taught. I'll give you an example for the sister's side. The young lady who called her mother, and she said, Mom, why do you cut the chicken in half to put it in the oven? Mom said, I don't know. My mom always did that. Let me call her and find out. So I'm not sure, did the mother call? Did your granddaughter call her mother? And said, why did you cut the chicken in half to put it in the oven? She said, my oven wasn't big enough to hold the chicken. Okay? That sounds so simplistic. But do you see what happened? The mother didn't teach the daughter that you have to do that. She probably observed it. And the next mother, next daughter, observed it too. Okay? That's just putting the chicken in. I don't care how you put your chicken in the oven. But what I'm trying to say is those things influence us. I find it very interesting. You know, when I was a boy going to school, there's a lot of things I really didn't know, but I'd have defended the Corvette tractors that my dad drove. I really didn't know if they were the best or not, but I knew one thing, they were dad's color, and that settled it. You know, the interesting part was their boys had the same problem with their dad. They thought their dad was the best. Anyways, we'll leave that. But that it's not that my dad ever taught me that was the only tractor to drive. It was something that we just learned. And so I believe it is in the Christian life, in the Christian home. In many, many ways, those things come out. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'd like to read some of these verses I refer like to. Deuteronomy 6, begin reading at verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Notice the wording. It doesn't just say thou shalt teach them to thy children. It says thou shalt teach them diligently. So what is diligence? When I went to school, sometimes a teacher would tell me that if you'd be more diligent, you'd get a better grade. Okay? So now let's come to this in the spiritual aspect. What kind of grade are we getting on our diligence? Sometimes we need refresher courses. I know I did. And I still need them. But when it comes to training our children, teaching our children, we have so many things that reaching for our attention, and it's now we need it. And yet we're supposed to raise a Christian family. Prioritize, prioritize. Verse 7, thou shalt teach them thy children diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So what is the conversation? What are the wall hangings? What is the atmosphere? It's a diligent teaching atmosphere. I am so blessed. Personally, I went to a Christian day school all my life. but it's only in the last several years of my schooling that I actually had Christian curriculum. My earlier years was public school curriculum. It was nothing like it is today. But I am so blessed today. Our Sunday school materials we have, are the books that we can buy for our children, the Christian day school that we have. To me, it is just surrounding our children. It's such a blessing. I am told when the Christian day school of a certain group of congregations, that when they started the Christian day school is when they started maintaining, holding their youth. And I can believe that. Believe it. It starts here and it just goes on up. The toys, the things that we have. And I realize it's hard to find Christian books in the secondhand store. But remember, books are an investment. And us as men, we like good investments. Put Christian literature. We were in a home today that had a lot of books there. I was blessed. I didn't diagnose everyone, but I seen a lot of Christian reading there. I'm blessed by that. It's good. It's very good. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abram, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodness cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and he destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Isn't some beautiful assignments in this verse? Of all the exposure that we should have in the Christian home. Now I realize I'm talking a lot about, may I say, quiet, silent witnessing in the home. I'd like to give you another story. This is the Bible story. We have a man in the Old Testament who gets a message from God one day. And he said, Abraham, I know you love me, but I want to really see if you love me. You have one son there, Isaac. I want you to take him up on the mountain and to sacrifice him. I can't see how Abraham slept that night, personally. Remember, I enjoy trying to, putting myself in people's positions, blocking the information that you know and traveling right with them. It's very, very difficult to do, but it adds to the story, I feel. So Abraham is there as a human being. He had feelings just like you do tonight, fathers. God asked him of this. He rose early the next morning. Was that because of a sleepless night? I don't know. But I believe it was one thing it's saying, it says early in the morning, it was because he was going to obey God. He wakes up Isaac. And he says, Isaac, will you go with me? Yes, Father. They had their materials and they're walking. Can you feel with Abraham tonight walking with his son? He had a heavy heart. He'd look at his son. But I think he had to wipe tears. But this is what God said. As they journeyed along, Isaac says, Dad, we have everything here but the offering. Wouldn't that pierce Dad's heart? As he looks down at his son, I hear a note of confidence in my mind as he says, Son, God will provide, son. They journey on up. They build the altar. And he goes to slay his son, and God provided. What do you think the journey was from the mountain back home? That made an impression on that son that he never forgot. Tonight, I guess I'm going to close with that. I'm far from where my notes went tonight, but I want God to be glorified. I want to close with that thought tonight. On the way home, what will your children remember of your relationship with God is probably what's going to help them have a relationship with their God. May the Lord bless you. Family life is an enjoyable time. I'd like to read a couple of verses in closing yet. Number 6. This is my prayer for each home that's represented here this evening. Number 6, begin reading at verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. May the Lord bless you. Don't grow weary in well-doing. It will be worth it all. And, you know, when I look at our children and our grandchildren, I am blessed how God can take my mistakes and use them and rise and help a generation rise up to love the Lord. And he's continued to do that. And children, God loves you. And you be thankful that you're born into a home that mom and daddy love you. That's why they want you to obey. And obey them. And there'll be a happy time. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before you again this evening. We thank you that we can claim you as our Father. We thank you for each home that is represented here this evening. Bless each father and mother and their responsibilities that they're facing. They may be in the heat of the battle, teaching and training their children, but may you just continue to bless them with wisdom. Bless each grandpa and grandma that is here. May you give them courage, strength, and courage to follow you faithfully. Yes, we realize that our children make choices. And we pray for those who have made choices that are saddening. May your spirit continue to speak to them. May you draw them to you. And may you give us the courage to continue to press on faithfully. Bless each one of the youth that is here this evening. As they face life, may they be faithful. Keep each one in your tender care. Help each one to be faithful till you call us from the scenes of this life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you, and you're dismissed.